Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our Praying for America program on Right Side Broadcasting Network. Thank you, friends, for being here, and thank you for the team at RSBN. And we ask you to be sure to connect with them, rsbnetwork.com, and all the related social media platforms. And we provide this program each weeknight. This is really, really so much in the heart and mind and soul of patriots and believers across this country that we need to be continuing to pray for this country. I see many of you are saying in the comments that you just saw me a few moments ago on the Greg Kelly show on Newsmax, and indeed, I was there talking about Biden and his pro-abortion policies. You may want to catch the repeat of that show if you didn't see it. But let's pray. We are here to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And what we began speaking about in these recent nights is religious freedom. And I want to continue on that theme here, especially getting to the roots of what our founders thought about the relationship between religion and the Constitution. So we want to delve into that a little bit more here tonight. And let's put ourselves in God's presence first, and then we'll go into scripture and some reflections. And remember, we want to pray for your intentions too. So put those intentions there in the comments. Whatever prayer requests you have, we all want to pray together for one another. That is always a crucial aspect of what we do here in these broadcasts. Let's pray. God, eternal Father, we come to you with thanksgiving. Lord of every nation, we come to you with humility. God of salvation, we come to you with Easter joy, because your Son has conquered death, has freed us from the power of death, has canceled out our sins, has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. What joy and peace should be ours. Your Son said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." And then he said, "That my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." The Son of God brings us peace and joy, not ordinary human peace and joy. No, the peace and joy of God himself. Why? Because he gives us the love of God himself. Father, we thank you for that love. Your Son taught us that just as you love him, so he loves us. Your Son told us, abide in that love. Not just our love for him, but primarily, oh God, your love for us. And your Son's love for us. In this, we don't simply believe. In this love, we abide. We live in it. We're immersed in it. We're surrounded by it. It's above us. It's below us. It's in front of us. It's behind us. It covers every inch of our being. It penetrates every cell of our body. This immense, infinite love that you, O Father, have for the Son, it's the same love the Son has for us. Love, peace of Christ, joy of Christ. Father, send us these gifts. Send us these gifts because we not only want to pray for America, we want to do battle for America. We are ready, Lord God, to defend this country vigorously, to defend the freedom that it represents, to fight off tyranny in its many different forms, to combat all enemies of this country, foreign and domestic. And Lord, we are concerned as can be, about the domestic enemies to this country. Give us fervor, Lord, as we pray. You are our protector. Protect this nation. Protect our system of government. Protect our Constitution, Lord God. Put your hands on the Constitution and protect it from those radical judges who want to rewrite it, from those selfish politicians that want to trample it underfoot, all the while pretending that they are defending it, but not knowing the first thing about it. Father, protect our Constitution, protect our courts from activist judges who are more interested in promoting their own political agenda than defending what the Constitution actually means. Protect our land, O God, from activist judges who overturn the will of the people, who by one single vote overturn the will of millions of voters. Protect us, Lord, in every way in this nation, because you are our rock, our refuge, our strength in time of need. You are everything. In you we live and move and have our being. And in you, Lord God, therefore America moves and lives and has its being. We pray for America. And we pray to you, Lord God, with the deepest peace and joy tonight, for Christ is risen. And we pray in his mighty name. Amen. Okay, friends. The first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, we read as follows. First of all, then, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth, I am not lying, teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So this passage, so important, so instructive, from chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 7, notice what Paul is saying. He's saying that we need to do exactly what we do in these programs. We're praying for America. Scripture commands us to pray for the civil authorities. And he says the reason for that. He says the reason for that is that we may lead quiet and tranquil lives in all devotion and dignity. Law and order and religious freedom. Both of those gifts, both of those important, what should be fruits of good governance, are mentioned. And they're the motives for praying for America. And so this focus on religious freedom is really, you know, it's not just one of the agenda items or one of the intentions. It really is foundational. The Word of God tells us this. You know who else tells us this? Our founding fathers. And so I want to go back to my friend David Barton's book called Original Intent. One of the action items from the other night was that you purchase this book, look up this book, and get hold of it and read it cover to cover. Original Intent, The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. David Barton. Listen to this. Joseph Story became a Supreme Court justice in 1812. Talking about the First Amendment, we reviewed in recent evenings, the real meaning of the First Amendment and freedom of religion, separation of church and state is not a concept that's in the Constitution. We do have the anti-establishment clause. We do have the Constitution saying in the First Amendment that Congress will not pass a law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So citizens have to be free to exercise their religious faith. But now listen to what Justice Story says about the First Amendment. We are not to attribute this amendment prohibition of a national religious establishment. So we are not to attribute the First Amendment's prohibition of a national religious establishment to an indifference to religion in general, and especially to Christianity, which no one could hold in more reverence than the framers of the Constitution. Probably at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, the justice goes on to say, and of the amendment to it now under consideration, the general, if not universal, sentiment in America was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state. An attempt to level all religions and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all in utter indifference would have created universal disapproval, if not universal indignation. Okay, now these are the words of an early Supreme Court justice, early in our history. Like I say, he became a justice in 1812. You notice what he's saying here? It's exactly the opposite of what we have lived through in this country for the last 50 years or so, where the understanding that the state shall not establish a religion has been used as a battering ram to expel all religious expression from the public square. That is exactly the opposite of the intention of the framers, the founders, and the authors of that amendment. Exactly the opposite. It's not to expel religious expression from the public square, it's to protect it. We go on to see now, not too many years later, in Congress, 1853, the Congress of 1853 into 54, the House and Senate Judiciary Committee issued reports. And let me read from the Senate Judiciary Committee in regard to, again, the anti-establishment clause of the First Amendment. The clause speaks of an establishment of religion. What is meant by that expression? The Senate report says it referred without doubt to that establishment which existed in the mother country, which was an endowment at the public expense in exclusion of or in preference to any other by giving to its members exclusive political rights. So in other words, only the members of a certain denomination would have certain political rights. And by compelling the attendance of those who rejected its communion upon its worship or religious observances. You want a law telling you have to go to a particular denomination when you go to church on Sunday? Of course we don't want that. You want a law that says, people of a certain denomination more rights than others, or maybe their vote counts more, or they have fewer taxes, of course we don't want that. The Senate report goes on to say, these particulars constituted that union of church and state of which our ancestors were so justly jealous and against which they so wisely and carefully provided. The founders intended by this amendment to prohibit an establishment of religion such as the English church presented, or anything like it. But they had no fear or jealousy of religion itself, nor did they wish to see us an irreligious people. They did not intend to spread over all the public authorities and the whole public action of the nation the dead and revolting spectacle of atheistic apathy. These are powerful words, and these are clear words. And also just as clear is the fact that the courts have taken us over the last 50 or 60 years in exactly the direction that the Senate in 1853 said was the wrong direction. And thankfully now, as we explained in detail yesterday, the court has changed course and has stopped now, has abandoned now, the jurisprudence that assumes that the public expression of religion, even in the halls of government, constitutes an unconstitutional establishment of religion. That is not the presumption anymore. These founding fathers were men of faith. The Declaration of Independence, and there were 56 people who signed it, was as much a declaration of dependence on God as independence from the English monarch. Benjamin Rush was one of the 56 signers of the Declaration. Let me read you some of his words. "I sat next to John Adams in Congress, and upon my whispering to him and asking if he thought we should succeed in our struggle with Great Britain, he answered me, 'Yes, if we fear God and repent of our sins.' This anecdote will, I hope, teach my boys that it is not necessary to disbelieve Christianity or to renounce morality in order to arrive at the highest political usefulness or fame." Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And John Adams, "Yeah, if we repent of our sins and fear God, this experiment in self-governance will work. This nation will survive." Notice they didn't rely just on their political wisdom and insight, although they had a lot of that. They relied on their faith. In 1778, Congress issued the following act, which reaffirmed the importance of religion. Listen to these words. "Whereas true religion and good morals are the only solid foundations of public liberty and happiness, be it resolved that it be, and it is hereby earnestly recommended to the several states to take the most effectual measures for the encouragement thereof." The encouragement of what? The encouragement of true religion and good morals. Notice what it says. These are the only solid foundations of public liberty and happiness. Don't we hear from the left and the cancel culture exactly the opposite? Which is that religion and morality, especially Christian morality, suppress liberty, are at odds with freedom, and don't lead us to happiness, but lead us to enslavement. That's the deceived, dark, erroneous view of the left. They hate religion. They've used for decades the courts to stamp it out of our public life, but that's changing, friends. That's changing, especially with the kind of judges President Trump has put on the bench. It's changing, and it will continue to change. Let's continue to pray. Father, how grateful we are. Lord, we take a few moments here to give you thanks for all those who signed the Declaration of Independence and for the additional people who signed the ratification of the Constitution and for these men who labored so hard, emotionally, spiritually, physically, intellectually, labored so hard, sought your wisdom so earnestly for the political insight necessary to found this country, necessary to try to look into the future and to foresee all the possible things that could go wrong, all the possible challenges that the nation could face in the future, and how could liberty be preserved. Lord, these men were earnestly seeking your face, seeking your grace. Lord God, we owe them such a debt of gratitude. We thank you for Benjamin Rush, who wrote those words. We thank you for the members of the Congress in those earliest days of our nation's life. We thank you for our early presidents, our early Supreme Court justices. Lord, these men had to chart a course where there was no history. There was no track record. They were starting something new. What courage that required, what dependence on you. And that's why, Lord, we rejoice that the Declaration of Independence truly is a declaration of dependence on you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you because this nation acknowledges that it is your providence that has guided us and guarded us. And we must entrust ourselves to that providence, that our declaration acknowledges not only your existence, but the existence of the natural law and of your divine law, that our founders acknowledge that your divine law is superior to any human law, that no man can own another, that no human being in any form or position of government can have absolute power. None. None. It's part of the greatness of this country. There is no monarch. There is no dictator. There is no absolute ruler. Every single government office, every single branch of government has checks and balances on it. And Lord, when those offices or officers exceed their authority, God, give us the grace to stand up and speak up and take the action necessary to restore the proper balance of powers. Especially, Lord God, when it comes to that life of devotion and dignity in peace and tranquility that Paul explained to Timothy was the reason why we pray for our public officials, that we may be able to worship you in peace. That's why we pray for America. It's to be our safeguard. It's to be our safe place. Our safe place to worship you, O God, according to the dictates of our conscience formed by your holy word. It's to be the safe place for us to fulfill the mandate of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to proclaim his gospel to every creature. It is to be the safe place where we can pass the gospel on to our children and be able to show them the example of a happy man, a happy woman, a happy family, publicly worshiping you, O God, with complete freedom. This America is to be our safe place for living and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Not a place indifferent to religion. Not a place allergic to God's word. Not a place from which we must purge every mention of Jesus Christ. Just the opposite. Place where the freedom of expression, the freedom of religion are to flourish. The flame is to burn bright. It's to be turned up, not down. It's to be emboldened, not snuffed out. Father, this is the spirit in which we pray for America. This is the spirit, furthermore, Lord, in which we pray for one another. Lord, for all the people watching us right now, for all the intentions being expressed tonight, some for health, some for wisdom in decisions that need to be made, some asking your help, O God, for difficulties in relationships or finances or in their jobs, or maybe those who are looking for jobs. Lord God, whatever the need, all of us together now agreeing in your name and loving you, ask you, give us what we need. Lord, you know better than we do what we need, but give us what we need as we ask you in faith. Give us the strength to do our daily tasks that you give us. Give us the wisdom to make the decisions you require of us. Give us the protection we need from the evils that surround us. Give us, Lord God, the consolation we need in the midst of sorrows. And give us the humility we need in the midst of triumphs and victories. Give us what we need. Give us salvation and holiness of life. For these prayers, brothers and sisters, for these intentions, for these needs that we all have, let us together pray the Lord's Prayer, the very words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. It is such a joy to see you, friends, and your comments, to know that you're there from all parts of this country and our friends from other countries who want to pray for America. Thank you. Thank you, Right Side Broadcasting Network, all of you that are here on those channels, all of you that are here on our channels at Priests for Life and EndAbortion.tv. Friends, I want to also let you know, I mean, now we're concluding the second week now of this special Praying for America program. But next week, I have to have some surgery. Now, many of you know this already, especially if you're on our Priests for Life channels, but those of you on RSBN might not yet know. I've got to have some heart surgery on Tuesday. I have a valve that needs to be repaired. Physicians are completely confident that I'm a great candidate for this particular surgery. It's from a congenital condition. It's not causing me any negative symptoms. I have all the energy and strength that I've always had. But the doctors say that after this repair is made, I'll have even more. So that's a good thing. But I'll have to go through the surgery and the recovery period now for some weeks. I'm going to get back to broadcasting as soon as the doctor's orders allow me to do it. It's going to be a few weeks at least. But I want to get back at the earliest possible opportunity. We'll be with you tomorrow night. But then after that, I got to get ready for the surgery and of course, undergo that recuperation. I know, I don't even have to ask you, I know I can count on your prayers, and I appreciate that. It's going to be just fine. But I'll follow the doctor's orders, and we'll get back to you as quickly as we can. Maybe initially some audio broadcasts, and then eventually back to seeing you face to face. But thanks for that. Now, I have a personal webpage, FatherFrankPavone.org, where I'll be able to give you updates on my health and recovery, which, again, is anticipated to be very, very smooth and successful. It's a mitral valve repair. Some of you may have even had that surgery or know people who have done so. It is open-heart surgery, but it is a valve repair. My heart is otherwise functioning very well and healthy, no blockages or anything like that. So thank you for the prayers to let this situation move forward in the best possible way. And I am praying for you each and every day. We pray for America every day. Let's pray for one another every day, because this is truly a family. And the RSBN family and the Priests for Life family, we're becoming one family. And I want to encourage that. Those of you that watch Right Side regularly, check us also out at Priests for Life, and you see my social media handle there on the screen, Fr. Frank Pavone. And endabortion.tv is our broadcast channel and other links there. But we want to become a united family where all of us are tuning in across these platforms to one another, keeping up on one another, What a joy it was, especially to be at some of those President Trump rallies, which are going to be getting underway again. Those President Trump rallies at the various places where, of course, at every rally, RSBN was present, but various places here in Florida, where I was able to actually join with you and be there commenting on this great president, 45th president of the United States. He's going to be doing these rallies again. He's going to be supporting candidates, key candidates for the United States Congress, both the House and the Senate, certain governor's races. This is going to be good. These midterms, this is going to be good. And our prayers for America, you know, as we continue these programs, we're going to be praying very specifically for the midterm elections. Also, there's some elections, important elections for seats in 2021 as well. And we'll make sure that you're aware of all of that. But that's part of praying for America is, of course, praying for our elections and the right outcome to our elections. So using the words of Scripture, let's not forget the action item. We have to have action items for each night of the week. And so what I would recommend to you tonight is sort of analogous to what I recommended the other night. We're talking about the founders here. And really, there are few sources, if any, that are better to understand the founding fathers of America than wall builders. So I want to recommend as the action item tonight, and I know that some of you are already connected with them, I want to recommend as the action item that you go to wallbuilders.com. Now, that name is taken from the book of Nehemiah, where the wall is being built, and the Lord commanded the walls to be rebuilt, and they were battling while building, and that was really an instructive event. Because that's really what we do every day in our lives as Christians, right? We're battling against the enemies of the kingdom of God, and we're building the kingdom of God. It's a great commentary on what happens with America. Praying for America, we're battling for America by the things we try to teach others and give witness to, by the way we vote, by the way we lobby, learning our history, spreading our history, fighting in the courts for our rights. We're battling and building at the same time. Wall builders. Wallbuilders.com. David Barton, who wrote this book, which is very much a guide as we comment on the founding fathers' original intent. And check out that website. Check out their resources. Use them to get a deeper appreciation of the founding fathers, a deeper appreciation and understanding of how our government works, a deeper appreciation and understanding of how we need to defend these gifts that God gave us through our founding fathers. I agree with you, Michelle. Michelle is saying, David Barton is a national treasure. Well, David is very humble, and he would, I think what he would say in answer to that is, you guys are the national treasure. I know David well enough to know he's a very sincere, humble man of God and follower of Christ. Zach, can you get in right inside my office on the sofa there? You'll see the MAGA hat, the red MAGA hat. Yeah, Joe is reminding me. I got to have it here. Every night we have to put it on together, right? So get your MAGA hats. I'm having my associate here go get mine, and we'll put them on. I think that's a good practice to do each night to remind ourselves that part of praying for America, part of working for the good of America, is preserving the legacy and helping people understand the accomplishments of the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Amazing, historic accomplishments that are just, the more you delve into them, see, delving into them is not just a matter of knowing history, knowing our modern history, delving into those accomplishments of President Trump is a lesson in the future, not just a lesson in the past. It's a lesson for the future. He's the dominant force in American politics. And Republicans are not going to win by, you know, distancing themselves from him. The America First agenda is the path of the future. And it's the path, and the sooner that religious leaders understand it's the path of the future for the church, the better off our churches are going to be. We who are leaders in the pro-life movement, because that's the issue I deal with full time, the abortion issue. We certainly understand that the MAGA movement is the way of the future for this effort of pro-life, because the Democrats, it's not just that they have a different opinion, they've set themselves up as enemies of pro-life and enemies of the church and enemies of America. Elaine is wearing a MAGA visor. Okay, good. A MAGA visor. We can have all sorts of MAGA products. Wear it with pride, knowing that it's one of the greatest blessings of our recent past, and it is the way of the future. So, using the words of Scripture, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may he bless you always. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here. We will talk to you tomorrow night. Join us and get others to join us too as we pray proudly for America. Good night.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.